Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. We are efforting Paul Kaharsky, scheduled to be joined by him coming up here in just a few minutes. Looking forward to that conversation with PK on the Titans and what this offseason could look like. Lots of reaction already on Titans Twitter yesterday and on our text line so far on the show today from John Robinson and the comments he made yesterday on Ryan Tannehill down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Some strong comments from John Robinson. Listening to Jared on the show yesterday, freaking out a little bit, but saying a micro evaluation over one game isn't fair to any player yesterday down there for the Super or the Senior Bowl, discussing his name. So going to be interesting to see how that one plays out in terms of what that actually means for the quarterback position. But they're in an interesting spot right now. And a lot of Titans fans not very happy with John Robinson's comments yesterday, Joe Rexroth.
No, I had to make sure I wasn't muted. Can't have two mutes in one show.
No, we can't.
No, they weren't happy. They're not going to – like, Titans fans, as a rule, are not going to be happy if Ryan Tannehill comes back. And I get it, you know. I also, like, from the start, we've been saying that, like, it's just by far the most likely scenario. Maybe not for 2023. You know, depending on how next year goes, you can get out for 2023. But next year, it's Tannehill. So, like, I expect public support. I mean, I would expect public support from Vrabel, Robinson. And even if there was some far-flung move that could be made that ends up materializing, okay? Like, you're gonna have public support. But this was pretty strong support. And I think that, I think it was maybe a little bit overstated for one thing. And I think some of it, I just read it as someone who's sick of hearing his quarterback be bashed. You know, yeah. I mean, look, Tannehill is what you want in a locker room with your quarterback. Okay. He is tough. He is a leader. The guys like him. He's vocal. I mean, he's legit, like, exactly what you're looking for away from the field. But there are other quarterbacks like that, too. I mean, Kirk Cousins is the same way, but then there are limitations on the field. And I just think that the limitations for Tannehill have been made apparent by more than one game here. I mean, I think that game was the big moment because there was a lot of pressure on him. And the Titans had a lot of advantages in that game. I know the Bengals were in the Super Bowl, but the Bengals could win the Super Bowl, and I'm still going to say Titans should have won that game, period. And if you don't give the Bengals the game, you win that game. And again, and if they do win the Super Bowl, then, by the way, that could have been you. So that is the big moment, but it's not the only moment.
No, certainly.
Ryan Tannehill, it's two straight playoff games where he – did not rise to the occasion.
I don't think there's any question about it. And the full quote, I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show, but the full quote, this, again, coming from TennesseeTitans.com, from Jim Wyatt, talking to John Robinson yesterday, says, quote, "I think Ryan is a leader. I think Ryan is tough. I think Ryan has made a lot of great plays for us. He's our quarterback. I don't know that there's a quarterback who stands in the pocket and looks down the barrel of a blitz and throws the ball as good as he does. I know he works extremely hard, loves his teammates, is competitive. He's played a lot of good football. To have a micro evaluation over one game is not fair to any player. I think you have to look at the scope of the body of work and what he has done for this football team since he's been here." So that's the full quote coming from John Robinson. I mean, the things that stand out to me, and we've had lots of different reaction to this on the text line. You know, the micro evaluation over one game, I don't know that there's a quarterback who stands in the pocket and looks down the barrel of a blitz and throws the ball as good as he does. And the toughness part of this, again, I'm not trying to minimize toughness because I think that's really important at the quarterback position. I don't think there's any question about it. When you watch Ryan Tannehill play, the dude is tough. Physically, he takes a pounding. He hops right back up. He's not afraid to stand in there and deliver the ball. He's not afraid to take off running. Sometimes he's maybe a little too tough when he takes off running and doesn't slide. We've talked about that a ton here on the show. But I keep coming back to you, like, if the first things you're talking about with your quarterback is toughness, elite toughness, whatever you want to, what else we'll say, well, that's all great. But eventually you need to be able to make the plays and to be able to make good decisions in key moments. And that was lacking for a lot of this year with Ryan Tannehill. So, look, I'm not surprised that it looks like Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback next year. We've been talking about that for the last 2 weeks, that Ryan Tannehill is probably going to be the quarterback for the Titans as next season begins. I hope that this doesn't mean that John Robinson is just going to sit on his hands this offseason and say, yep, it's Tannehill next year. Like, if you're not at least doing your due diligence, whether that's in the draft, which I'm sure they're going to take a look at quarterbacks, or if there are phone calls to be made on a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, I think you're doing your team a disservice if you're just content with it's Tannehill no matter what. That's what we're doing next year. I mean, to me, based on the way that playoff game went, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever it's worth to John Robinson, and maybe not much, it might be good for him to have like a leaked report that the Titans called about Russell Wilson, you know, just so Titans fans feel like they're exploring every avenue. I mean, look, there's nothing at all, like, unless you have the best quarterback in the league or the best whatever it is at whatever position in the league, as a GM, you should always be looking to upgrade, you know? So that's Tannehill can't take offense to that. I mean, he understands the situation. He's already been discarded by one organization, and he responded, and he's a big part of why we talk about a window with the Titans. And there's no question about it. They were headed toward a bad season in 2019, a losing season in Vrabel's second year, and a bad offense, even though they had Derrick Henry. And Ryan Tannehill is largely responsible for a lot of the good that happened from there. But again, I just feel like expectations and pressure got higher, and he didn't respond to it. So, you know, if Mike Vrabel was asked, I think back to, speaking of Tom Brady reminiscing, a lot of Tom Brady reminiscing this week. Like, oh, yeah. I remember when I, you know, when I got within 5 feet of Tom Brady and I smelled his breath. You know, Brady was here a couple summers ago and with the Patriots, and Vrabel was asked a question about, you know, what makes him so great. And I remember he said other stuff, but the first thing he said was, man, gets the ball to the open guy. And he didn't talk about his toughness. The job is, you know, get the ball out to the open guy. Don't turn it over. Make plays. Pass the football to receivers who then gain yardage so you can score touchdowns and win games. That's what the job is. Elite toughness is a big deal, and it's important. And I think it's probably valued, like Vrabel and Robinson probably value that more than some combos of Coach Jim. I mean, they have a physical football team. They want to play physical football.
Sure.
And they've got a tough quarterback, and that is important, but it's not the most important thing about this job.
I got a texter that says, Tannehill stunk in the game. However, there are 21 other players and 99 other plays to win the game on. See, I don't really want to hear that crap. Like, yes, there's – you can make that argument about everything. Well, if only the Titans defense, in addition to the 9 sacks, would have forced 5 fumbles and picked them up and ran them in for a touchdown, yes, the Titans would have won the game. It's the most important position on the field, and the quarterback totally choked. That's what happened. The quarterback choked, and the quarterback is the reason you lost the game. It's as simple as that.
Yep. You can't give the other team the ball. You can't. And that's the amazing thing about this Titans team. When they didn't, they were the best team in the NFL. When they didn't give the other team the ball this year, they were damn near unbeatable. When they did, you know, they lost to the Texans because Tannehill throws 4 picks. They lost this game because he threw 3 picks. It's, yeah, sure, you can find all kinds of things. Again, hey, oh my God, the Bengals scored a touchdown. What happened on that drive, defense? Why did Joe Mixon get in the end zone? But let's be realistic here. If you don't give them the ball three times, you beat them. And that's why the quarterback gets paid way more than everybody else. That's why the quarterback gets way more credit sometimes than the quarterback should and way more blame. But that's the job. That's what you sign up for. They just have more control over the outcome than anyone else.
Reds fans, tomorrow join us at the grand opening of the Blood Assurance in Hermitage on Lebanon Pike. You can register to win tickets to the Predators Outdoor Stadium game, plus one lucky winner will receive a Preds Stadium game jersey as well. So see you tomorrow at Blood Assurance in Hermitage. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to some other interesting comments that John Robinson made yesterday as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Make sure you're tuning in on Sunday, February 6th at 1:30 p.m. for the inaugural Busch Clash at the LA Coliseum. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday at 8 a.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Devin from Dover texting in says, Robinson won't draft a quarterback in round one. He probably already has two or three guys coming off ACL or back surgery on his draft board for that pick. Ooh, spicy from Devin from Dover.
Wow.
On
the text line. I sense a little sarcasm.
I do too.
Interesting.
Hey, I will say, J-Rob has liked some injured guys in the past. I don't think there's any question about it.
Some have worked out, some haven't. Jeff Simmons turns out to be a heck of a value after the ACL tear. They probably wouldn't have been there for them. So, but we'll see on Caleb Farley.
Ron on the text line says, Titans fans are in cutthroat mode and are hungry. If J-Rob does stay with Tannehill this year and we come up short yet again, Titans fans will want J-Rob fired. This is coming from Ron on the text line. Well, look, I can tell you this. If the Titans go out and win the division again next year and they get put out in the playoffs, whether it's first round, second round, wherever, John Robinson's probably not getting fired. I can pretty much tell you that right now.
Yeah. No. You know, people jump to that. Look around the league. You know, it's somewhat like, look at like Ryan Pace. Look how hard it was for him to be fired, even though like he made a move that, I mean, really like doomed the franchise. You know? I mean, and it was years afterward that he was fired. And I know they've made the playoffs a few years ago. They also totally botched that, but it's different owners. I mean, Jerry Jones, like Jerry Jones is the owner of this team. I could buy into that. Like, hey man, the hot seat can come like that. Especially because he just wants to be the GM anyway. But you do have to, in my opinion, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. But I would advise Titans fans to take a look at the whole picture and, again, realize that when you have a window, even if you blow it within the window, how was the window created? I mean, the windows don't just appear. They come about by building teams.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt texting in says, I'm not a Tannehill lover by any means, but Brady had three turnovers in the NFC title game last year and practically handed the game to Green Bay on a silver platter. What's the difference? First off, don't remind me of that game. I'm just now getting over it. Secondly, I mean, guys, there's a difference between Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill. I mean, can we not?
Right.
Can we agree on that? Like
the difference, yes, is track record.
The difference is track record. Like, yes, Tom Brady threw some bad turnovers in that game. Up until that point, he'd also won six Super Bowls. You know, everybody's talking about, like, we've gotten a lot of, well, what's the difference between Mahomes and Tannehill this week? Well, Patrick Mahomes has been in four consecutive AFC title games and has won a Super Bowl and a league MVP. That's
also
the difference.
Also, watch him play. Watch, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah. No one is, I mean, again, Tom Brady is, I think, unquestionably the greatest quarterback ever. I want you to hear me say that.
Sure you're sticking with it.
He's had bad playoff games where they lost. He's had many more years than not. He didn't win at all. So I guess after those years, you could always say, oh, I don't know about Brady. Right. I mean, once you demonstrate it and do it, then that changes everything. And Tannehill has not. Now, look, I am still adamant that Tannehill played winning football in the two wins that he had with the Titans in the playoffs. I will say that forever. Red zone touchdown throws matter more than he didn't have a lot of passing yards. But he also didn't play very well in the second half of the AFC Championship game, and they were basically shut down. The Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry. He did not do enough. And then obviously the last two playoff games. I mean, and again, this year too, I do look at it a little differently based on the playoff game outcome. And there's a lot of upheaval and a lot of things that were tougher around him, starting with pass protection, no question. But I have to look at it differently after the way he performed in the playoff game. And that's what we're talking about. Like, you know, at this point, he can do whatever he wants next year. And I'm still gonna be like, okay, show me in the playoffs. I don't know. But I think we're gonna be able to watch that play out, that's for sure.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Frankie from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Frankie, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, when you look at some of these playoff games and quarterbacks play, you know, if you go to just the championship round last weekend, the quarterback play wasn't that great. You know, Burrow in the fourth quarter, he threw two consecutive passes to the defense. One was picked off. He threw one. He was rolling to the right. There was nobody within 10 yards in a Bengal uniform and could have been picked off. The defensive player didn't make the catch. And then in the next drive, he had to run twice to get to kind of get that drive into field goal range. So, you know, once you win, everybody, if the Titans win that game, nobody even remembers Tannehill's game. They say, oh, yeah, he had a pick. There was five picks between the four quarterbacks this last weekend. I mean, it's just part of the game. So once you win, everybody's mind changes. When you lose, then you get out the microscope and you've got to have a reason in your brain to why they didn't win. And always that's going to be the quarterback. And so when you look at the situations other NFL teams are in, you know, they're a pretty good situation here in Nashville. And the quarterback play is really not that bad. If you dissect all the quarterback play, you can always come up with that microscope. So I think everybody needs to calm down. And just realize if the overall team can get better, the Titans are in a good situation with Tannehill. That's the reality. It's not popular, but it's reality, right? Because what are you going to do? Because there's a lot of teams that struggle with quarterback play, a lot of teams. So I think the fans, I think you're just getting into a little reaction, trying to find something in your brain to blame. Why not the quarterback? He threw the interceptions, right? So I don't know. I think the Titans are in a good situation overall.
Thanks for the call, Frankie. We appreciate it. I mean, I don't think that anyone's saying that quarterbacks can't throw interceptions, but I don't really have much time for the, well, did you see what Joe Burrow did? He threw a pick. Or did you see what Patrick Mahomes did? He threw a pick. Nobody's saying that you have to go through an entire playoff without throwing interceptions. Did you see what Patrick Mahomes did against Buffalo to score in 13 seconds? Did you see what Patrick Mahomes did in the first half against Cincinnati? Dominating the Bengals. Did you see the plays that Joe Burrow made coming down the stretch, making huge plays? Like if Tannehill throws three interceptions, but then he leads the Titans on a game-winning drive at the end of the game and makes some huge throws, we're spending much more time talking about that than we are the three interceptions. But he didn't do that, and he hasn't done that consistently. It's not just about the turnovers. It's about can you make plays to carry your team to victory? Joe Burrow does that. Patrick Mahomes does that. Tom Brady did that. Aaron Rodgers does that, except maybe sometimes in the playoffs. But there's like it's not just the interceptions. It's Joe Burrow is going to throw some interceptions. Joe Burrow is also going to make a lot of plays that help his team win. And Tannehill just really hasn't done that in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth in the call overall, but – yeah, like had they found a way to win that game, I don't think that we would just be not talking about Tannehill. Even this season, I mean, again, they were the number one seed. They went 12-5. We talked about Tannehill all year, didn't we? I mean, again, I mostly defend him. Like, you know, what the dude has no time to throw, guys. And this week, his receivers were Dez Fitzpatrick and, you know, Racy McMath. I mean, like there were – his tight end situation. Like, there's a lot of things. The OC change, a lot of excuses. But yeah, there's a pretty big difference, as you just pointed out, between him and those guys. Look, I don't think there was any illusion about that anyway. I don't think anyone went into this playoff saying, man, he better be Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, or they're not going to make a run. They have a lot around them. I think this team could have won a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. But again, yes, you're right. When you win, then everything gets – or things get glossed over. When you lose, things get scrutinized. But he lost the game for them. I'm sorry.
There's this – everybody keeps coming back to, well, you got to make the team around him better. How much better do you want him to get? They have what probably turned into a top two or three defense at the end of the season in the league. You have the best running back in football. You have A.J. Brown. Like, I get it. You want to be great at every position. That's not realistic in the NFL. So my question, like, I understand the argument, well, you got to make the team better around Tannehill. Well, how much better do you want him to get? Look at the team they have around him right now. Like, how realistic is it that the team next year is just all of a sudden going to be light years better than this one?
Well, right. Well, the thing is, a lot of Sundays this year, it wasn't for nobody's fault, mostly because of injury.
But it was for this game.
But it was all there for this game, and they had it all together for this game. They had everything they needed. You know, they ran the ball well. They protected him. The defense got 9 sacks. I mean, so I agree that we often oversimplify, and like Matt Stafford, you said it yourself. Matt Stafford, maybe he loses that game, and we're talking about a totally different thing this week. Yeah, he still isn't good enough, but the pick was dropped, and the thing is, Stafford still made huge plays to win the game too. And sometimes it is as simple as the quarterback, and I think it was here, and they had everything. And you know, the thing is, you may be right. Like, how are they going to be any better? I'd love to know how they're going to be better up front. That's going to be a neat trick, especially if they're keeping Zach Cunningham. Which we haven't talked about that, but that's something John Robinson alluded to in his comments yesterday. But that's the charge for John Robinson now, because if it's going to be Tannehill, then you have to figure out some way to get him to play more like he did in 2019 and 2020. That's your path.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 years for profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, you guys think J-Rob's accent is real? He kind of has a country accent, but is he from the South? Maybe he's the original Brian Kelly. That's coming from the text. Well, I can confirm, man, that John Robinson is from Tennessee. So, yes.
Yeah, West Tennessee. What's his hometown again? Do you remember?
Union City.
Yeah, West Tennessee. Now, that's real. That's legit. I've never heard John Robinson talk about his family in anything but a genuine way.
Yes, I have heard him talk about his family, but he said it in a very normal Southern accent way.
Hey, speaking of, before we get back into the Titans talk, speaking of fake BS from coaches, this is amazing. This Nick Saban comments about name, image, likeness. I have to just go off about this for a minute.
I've not seen this.
Oh yeah. I retweeted Gentry Estes, who quoted Saban. He was at an event. This is a Saban quote. Okay. You're talking about name, image, likeness. Schools shouldn't be giving players to go there. Right.
Sure.
This is a Saban quote. Quote, I hear these crazy people out there on TV saying, well, now you're just doing it. It's above board. We never did it. We never cheated to get a player, end quote. Let me just throw as many eye rolls as I can ever. Like, just stop. Just stop. Again, this is the same thing. This is the same thing as I haven't talked to anybody about that job.
Yeah.
Your agent did, but you technically didn't. You're right. So Nick Saban, I believe him. He has never gone out and said, here, I'm going to give you this much money to play for Alabama. I believe him. He's right. Technically, he never did that. So congratulations. Please, let's, I mean, like, it's just like this desperation for everyone to live in a fantasy world is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he's right.
We all know the score, buddy. We all know the score.
Look, Jeremy Pruitt was hanging out on the streets of Knoxville with McDonald's bags full of money, passing them around. We know that happens. Wink, wink.
Yeah, well, speaking
of Nick Saban's not doing it.
Yeah, well, speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, you know, we still haven't gotten all the details of the investigation, of course. But it'd be really interesting for Jeremy Pruitt to do things in a totally different way than he saw at Georgia and Alabama and Florida State, wouldn't it? I mean, obviously, he's sloppy. There's no doubt about that. There's the difference. He's sloppy.
He sucked at it, but hey,
Right.
I'm sure that he learned from the best.
Again, it's like, you know what? That's fine. You can complain about name, image, likeness and all this stuff, and you can say, hey, they shouldn't be out there just brazenly saying, here's our salaries for players. But please don't take this back to this we never cheat crap. Please don't do this.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Scott in Kansas City texting in says, pretty good is not good enough. Since moving to Nashville, the Titans have been pretty good several times. It's really simple. Can our signal caller carry this team in championship moments? I've been a fan of this organization since 1989. I'm tired of being okay with being okay. This is coming from Scott in Kansas City. I think Scott speaks for a lot of the Titans fan base.
Yeah, well, look, they were better than okay, though. You know, they were better than okay this year. It's just that when that's your playoff performance, and it is, go through the whole team, okay? And you grade the whole team on that game. Who played poorly in that game for the Titans?
Nobody on defense. Fulton wasn't great, but nobody on defense.
Yeah, Fulton gave up a play, you know, to Chase. He wasn't decisive enough, and Chase was gone. Rabbit had a couple moments.
AJ played well. Julio played well. You know, if you really want to get down to it, like there are people that are like, well, what about Derrick Henry? Everybody's talking about Ryan Tannehill. What about Derrick Henry? You know, 20 carries or for 62 yards or whatever it was. You know, he wasn't great. It's also like, you know, he's coming off a broken foot. I mean, I don't really know how to judge that.
Yeah, he's coming off a broken foot. Look, it is two straight games. Well, actually, it's three straight playoff games. Derrick Henry has been that the opposing defense has done a good job and contained him. So,
but doesn't that also go back to Tannehill? Like, yes. Your quarterback has to make them pay when they do that. I mean, you've got your left tackle after the game talk about them essentially going in goal line formation in midfield. I mean, come on.
Exactly. I mean, one person in this game to me played poorly. It was Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I understand that, like, the quarterback always gets more scrutiny, but like in this case, it's actually correct.
Dennis texting in says, it's wild how fans think all quarterbacks who aren't Rodgers or Mahomes are just garbage. There is a middle ground. Tannehill is good. The problem is when playoff Tannehill shows up. The Titans didn't need Tannehill to be great to win the game. They only needed him to be boring, and he couldn't even do that. This is coming from Dennis on the text line.
That's well put. Yeah, just be bland. Be vanilla. Be vanilla, and the Titans win that game. Instead, he was like rotten tapioca.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I got a texture that says, but even if Tannehill plays like he did in 19, he still disappeared in the playoffs. The defense and Derrick Henry carried us to the AFC Championship. But when Tannehill had to make winning plays, it didn't go well. He threw for 369 yards in three games. Here we are back to the yards.
Yeah. I mean, again, he made winning plays. You know, you have to make, I mean, Khalif Raymond got wide open on that shot. You got to make the throw. Jonnu Smith made a great catch in the end zone. You still have to put a throw there that only he can catch. Anthony Firkser had a huge touchdown. I think it was a third down in the red zone. You got to make the throw. He made winning plays. So, I mean, that run is the formula for the Titans. But, again, that's another question. Are they going to get back to – I mean, that's a huge question about next year. Like, Tannehill, eventually, people are going to just accept he's going to be the quarterback, and it's going to be very much, okay, let's see what you do in the playoffs. But a huge question is, like, is Derrick Henry going to be – pushing for 2,000 yards level Derrick Henry.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, this team is built around that being obviously the engine of the offense.
Shane from Ashland City texting in says, I'm tired of settling. I'm tired of the we can do the same thing next year because we only had one bad game late. I'm tired of all that mess. Send Tannehill through the toughest boot camp in the country. Get him some help with training. Find us a freaking tight end, and let's fix the problems and stop covering them up and calling them temporary screw-ups. This is coming from Shane from Ashland City. So going to have major pain out here helping out Tannehill this offseason. It's going to be awesome.
So we're back. We're back to the Rocky IV prepping for the fight. Tannehill out there lugging a, you know, like an ox out in the field, huh? He already did that before the Dolphins game, right?
Yeah. By the way, Major Payne, great film.
Good call. Good reference, man. Good reference. Damon Wayans, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Heck yeah, baby. yeah. Look, I mean, what can you like if you're the Titans? What can you do? I mean, all you can do is support Tannehill. That's the thing, right? I mean, publicly you can support him. I have no doubt that there are some guys on this team who, it's just like a lot of people are like, oh man, this guy, I don't know. I mean, it's just human nature.
Sure.
Everybody saw what happened. You can spin it or sugarcoat it if you want, but everybody saw what happened. But ultimately, you have to support him and just hope that he, you know, that he responds to this, but there is a ceiling on what he is, which again, like that's not a big surprise, but I think Dennis put it perfectly. This like, don't help the other team. And that's what he wasn't doing really at all in his first 2 years with the Titans.
Well, and you know, Jared for the last few days has been calling it, you know, Tannehill Stockholm syndrome. We're talking about the way that, you know, Tannenbaum was on the show last Friday and he was effusive in his praise for Ryan Tannehill. I think it's pretty obvious. Like if people who are around Ryan Tannehill, they love him. Like Taylor Lewan had some strong comments in support of Tannehill on his podcast. You know, obviously the J-Rob comments we've been talking about. You know, Vrabel for weeks has been talking about, you know, how much he loves Tannehill at quarterback. So, like, I have no doubt if you're around Tannehill on a daily basis and you're in that locker room, like he checks a lot of boxes. He does a lot of things that you really like. But at some point, the looking around at the team that you have and needing your quarterback to come up big in those big moments, like eventually that has to outweigh all that other stuff, right? I mean, I would think so.
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome, by the way, for people who don't know what that means, basically it's when you're a hostage and you sympathize with your captors. So yeah. In this case, Tannehill would be the captor, which yeah, it's not the worst analogy. I mean, they are stuck with him pretty much. You know, if John Robinson could freely move about and pick another quarterback, well, I mean, I think he would certainly pick one of the top handful of quarterbacks, but wouldn't that be true of every GM in the league?
Yeah. I got a text that says, send Tannehill to the Manning Passing Academy this summer. By the way, Major Payne, literally the worst movie I've ever seen, Robbie. But that's kind of the charm of it. It's so bad that it's good. If that makes any sense.
Oh, it's there's worse movies than Major Payne.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to some pretty interesting comments that John Robinson made on the future of Zach Cunningham. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Reds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the Predators, we'll be joined by the great Pete Weber coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Speaking of goats, for sure, greatest of all time, Pete Weber. Looking forward to that coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about John Robinson's quotes on Ryan Tannehill that Jim Wyatt has provided on TennesseeTitans.com for down in the Senior Bowl yesterday. Also, some pretty interesting comments on Zach Cunningham as well. That says, quote, he was aggressive. He was long. He did a good job trying to get the ball out. I thought he fit in well. And it was a pretty seamless transition. Obviously, when you have a history with somebody like Mike did with him, it makes it a little easier. He came in and played good football for us, and we're excited to work with him moving forward. Now, that last part is interesting. As we know, the Titans have a lot of decisions to make this offseason. Right now, they're, I think, $7.3 million in the hole in terms of cap space, according to overthecap.com. You know, Cunningham's got a hefty cap hit to him as well, and there's decisions on the O-line and the secondary, all these different things that you've got to make. But the "we're excited to work with him moving forward" part of that quote, does that tell you, Joe Rexroad, that the Titans plan on having Zach Cunningham back in the fold next year?
Well, it's definitely hard to ignore it. Again, you know, at some point, John Robinson could go make a trade, bring in another quarterback, and we'd look at these quotes where he's like, Ryan Tannehill is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and be like, okay, you have to take it all with a grain of salt, you know? Sure. You're being asked about someone, you're going to support him, but there is a difference. So he said that about, you know, continuing, excited about, what is it again? Let me make sure I have it right. We're excited to work with him moving forward.
Yep.
So he has another quote here. This is, you know, TennesseeTitans.com to Jim Wyatt. Talking about the offensive line, says, you know, Roger Saffold played good football for us. Taylor Lewan played good football for us. I think all those guys as a group played good for us, and we'll continue to work through some things and make the best decisions moving forward. So they did not get a follow-up of we, and we're excited to keep working with those guys.
That's right.
Now, again, I mean, I've gone through the numbers, and, you know, again, the basic numbers without doing things that certainly Vin Marino and the Titans will do to give themselves as much room as possible. I like Lewan, Saffold, and Cunningham. There is no way all three of them are on this team next year. I'll say that right now. If I'm wrong, I want you to remind me. Let me bring this back up. Yep. You know, we can car wash it, whatever. We can vacuum some cars out. Little wax, you know, little whatever you need. Saffold, Lewan, Cunningham. There's no way all three of them are on this team. It doesn't add up that they would be. Let me ask you this. If you had a choice between Taylor Lewan or Zach Cunningham to be on your team next year, you're of this team, knowing what this team is and how it's all put together otherwise, who would you choose?
I mean, I'm going Lewan. I just think the position is more important at left tackle. I mean, let me put it this way. If Lewan's not on the team, who's your left tackle? Like, that's a pretty wide open question, right? I mean, some people would say Dylan Raidens. Some people would say you go draft one, you go find one in free agency, all those things. You know, if Zach Cunningham's not your middle linebacker, well, David Long Jr. is, and Monty Rice is, who you just drafted in the third round. Or look, you know, I think this time last year, we expected that Jayon Brown might go to the free agent market and make a lot of money. I do not expect that this time around. Like, is it possible that Jayon Brown could come back with the Titans? Because I think he's going to be pretty cheap out there. So I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there are way more solutions at linebacker than there are at left tackle. So because of that, I'm going Lewan.
Yeah, look, I love the Cunningham long thing. And if there's any way that both of them can be on the team, you know, then I think that behooves the Titans to figure it out. And maybe there's a pay cut in there. You know, maybe that is something that's possibly on the table, you know, for a Lewan. But again, even if those two are on the team, Saffold's not. I agree. It's like, it's different, but I think of the Forsberg thing, you know, okay, you could trade him. You could try to get assets. You could be in a better cap situation, whatever, but then when are you going to have that guy again on your roster, a forward who can do what he does? It is not easy to find a left tackle. And I understand that Lewan had a rough start to the season, but it is not easy to find a left tackle as good as he is. There aren't a ton of left tackles in the NFL, even now, who are better than him.
Well, if Lewan's not going to be back next year, to me, that kind of answers what you're doing in the first round with your draft pick. Like, you've got to find a left tackle at that point. Now, maybe that's the route they end up going. Or, I guess maybe they feel great about, you know, David Quesenberry switching over to left tackle and Dylan Raidens going in at right tackle. I have no idea. But to me, Lewan is way more likely to be here next year than Saffold. Like, I think if you ask me right now, I would put it at 85% that Saffold's not here next year. And that may be lowballing it.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, if Tannehill is coming back, as pretty clear he is, you know, switching out and throwing hope at your left tackle position does not seem like the ideal way to make things better around him, you know?
Yeah.
It's a tough equation because, you know, you are potentially weakening your defense. If you're sitting there with David Long and Monty Rice as your starting inside linebackers next year, that could be a real problem. That's a huge – I think that's a pretty big – we don't know what Monty Rice is going to become. He could become a great player. You know, we just saw a little glimpse of him as a rookie. I thought it was fine. I mean, I thought, you know, there was some promise there as a rookie. But Zach Cunningham right now is a winning big-time inside linebacker. So you're talking about – yeah, you're talking about weakening your defense, but if that's the choice, to me, it's a pretty simple one.
Jeff on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, maybe J-Rob meant working with him in contract negotiations. Said, maybe we'll restructure that deal. Who knows? Didn't mean on the field. Just said, you know what? Looking forward to working with you, Zach. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Looking forward to seeing how much less money you'll take, Zach.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Sean texting in says, this conversation should start with what situation the Titans are in after they've cut Jackrabbit Jenkins. Does seem very likely that Jackrabbit may not be here next year.
I mean, honestly, I've already considered that a given.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be surprised if he's on this team next year. You know, this is one of those situations where you have to lean on your drafting. You have to lean on the first round investment in a corner you think can be a great corner in this league. And I know he's coming off the ACL and he's not all that far removed from, you know, multiple back surgeries, but you drafted him in the first round. So, to the defense, you know, could take a step back next year, you know, there's no doubt, but if it does work out with him, I think you could also potentially be better at corner than you were this year. And this year was a pretty massive upgrade from last year.
By the way, not that this is a big surprise, but John Robinson did tell Jim Wyatt yesterday that team's pretty interested in bringing Harold Landry back. Quote, I think Harold wants to be with us, not to speak for him. We are going to do everything we can to try and keep Harold, but we understand there's a lot of other things that need to go down too. This is the quote from John Robinson. So I don't think that's a big surprise that the Titans are interested in bringing Harold Landry back, but he did say, you know, we understand there's a lot of things that have got to happen in order for that to go down as well.
Such as cutting other players that you'd rather have on your team, but you can't have on your team anymore.
That is correct. Sean texting in says, keep Saffold over Lawan all day. Keeping Saffold over Lawan all day. I mean, it's fine. Again, what are you doing at left tackle?
I mean, look, it hurts to, you know, Saffold was banged up this year, and that's a concern. He's been banged up a lot. He's getting older. But he played through it, and there was still time. I mean, as a run blocker, he's amazing, really. Yeah. He's been elite. And that's what they do. And it would leave a mark to have to move on from him. But nah, I disagree. Left tackles who can just be on an island like that are – everybody's looking for them. That's why they make so much money too.
Corey in Clarksville texting in says, how confident are we in J-Rob drafting in the first round? Here we are. We're going to get about 3 months worth of those questions. First round pick for J-Rob. Those haven't gone well as of late.
Yep. Couple bad ones in a row. He needs a 2019 draft reboot. You know,
wow, that just was give Jeff me somebody Simmons. In the first round that could get on the field for you, please. Like I'll start with that. Like give me, I'm not saying you got to draft Jeffrey Simmons or AJ Brown. Just give me somebody that could be on the field for you to play and contribute. I'll take that right now if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah. But again, like then you fire your GM. If you think your GM is just going to keep swinging and missing the first round, well, go ahead and get a new GM then. You know, the overall track record, you know, I mean, 18 wasn't great. I mean, really, he said two first-round picks that I would say lived up to – I mean, I would say Jeff Simmons, you could say, is on his way to exceeding where he went in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
He'd probably be the only one. I think Conklin lived up to where he went. I do. I mean, he was an all-pro as a rookie. They were – you know, the 2019 run, Jack Conklin, Nate Davis on that right side. I mean, the whole offensive line was so good at the end. But, he's had, you know, Corey Davis didn't live up to his draft position. Neither did Adoree Jackson. So it hasn't been great. Second round's been a lot better to him. And, of course, unfortunately, he does not have a second round pick this year.
When we come back, we'll switch gears, get back into the Predators. We'll be joined by the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.